CosmicBroadcasting.com and the Cosmic Broadcasting app.
Welcome to the Connection Puzzle Radio Show. I'm your guest host for the hour. My name is Suzanne Muller-Hines, and I'm the author of Lovable, 21 Practices for Being in a Loving and Fulfilling Relationship, and the CEO of Happy Living Forever. And what I get to do for a living is I coach men and women to crush their fears and transform unhealthy patterns and develop the skills they need to have a fulfilling and lasting love life that works for both people. And I used to live in Colorado for 15 years, and now I live in Switzerland with the love of my life. Yes, I'm coming to you live from Switzerland. So wherever you are across the globe, welcome. Welcome to the Connection Puzzle tonight. And I have the pleasure of guest hosting an hour a month right here on the Connection Puzzle Radio Show for the fabulous Stacey Klein. And my segment is called Seeking Love and Keeping That Love Healthy and Rewarding. And today we're talking about dating divorced men. And specifically, you know, most people, there's a lot of people, if we think about it, you know, over 40, and a lot of people have been divorced. Like, it's not common anymore. And we're going to talk about the pros and cons of dating the divorced men and some things just to be aware of for you ladies out there in case you're like, frustrated, or maybe you're like, yay, divorced men are fantastic. In my case, I married a divorced man. And it's been fantastic. And the other thing we're going to talk about today is vulnerability. And we're going to dig into vulnerability because some of you might be thinking, yippee, vulnerability. And others of you might be like, oh, no. And that's why we're talking about it, especially in the single world. You know, sometimes it goes very missing, especially when people are dating. And we're wondering why we're not connecting. So at the end of the show, we're going to talk a bit about vulnerability and how you can be more vulnerable in case you're like, oh, I don't like to go there. So, Lynn, how are you?
I'm here. I'm still here. I haven't had anything negative done to me, so I guess all things are well. How are you?
Good. I'm okay. Speaking of kind of negative things, my father is in the hospital right now. Not doing well, so I'm a little sad. I probably could cry at a drop of a dime right now, feeling a little kind of raw and vulnerable, but I'm good. I'm glad to be here, but our family's kind of going through a tough time right now, so keep my father in your prayers, please.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay, I won't keep talking about that, otherwise I'll cry.
Right. We're done.
Otherwise, I'm good. I hear you've got some weather out there in Colorado. Is it like windy and snowy and stormy?
Well, it's about 60s right now, but the wind is starting to kick up, so you can't have one thing without the other. I mean, you can have pretty decent weather as long as you're not wearing a wig today, and other than that, you're going to be embarrassed at one time or another. I'm looking at Monday or Tuesday when the blast happens. Apparently Tuesday we're going to be in about the 20s or 30s, you know, typical Colorado weather at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. So if people are wearing a wig out there in Colorado, you better hang on to it today,
it sounds like.
We've actually had some snow here, and today was kind of the first day that the fog lifted, and it's so beautiful. So from my office I can see the Swiss Alps, and it's kind of just as beautiful as the Rocky Mountains for anybody that lives in mountain areas. Oh my God, they're snow-peaked. They're so beautiful with the snow on the Alps. It's just beautiful. So we're lucky.
I'm sure people will appreciate the comparison, but for me, I'm going Rocky Mountains, Swiss Alps. I think
no,
I'm taking
both
the Swiss
beautiful.
Alps.
I know they're different. You know what? It's funny. I should post a picture on the Cosmic Broadcasting
website.
Don't
do that. You'll just make us jealous. Don't do that.
Okay. But it's really spectacular. And both, they are very different mountains. You're right. They're very different. So guess what? I've got good news. I'm coming to Colorado.
Nice.
At the end of the month, I'm so excited. I know I was in the studio live with you a while ago, but I will be there in the studio live December 5th with you. So I'm looking forward to seeing you again, Lynn.
Cool.
Yeah, and the other announcement I've got before we get to our first guest, Christy Hartman, is I'm inviting all the single men and women out there in Colorado, if you're looking for and interested in a fulfilling relationship, I'm going to be there live. I'm going to host one class in Denver, and we had David Lazaroff on the show. We called him the Man of Love,
right.
And Jeremy Savage, he was kind of like the happiness guru.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a class called Instant Connection, called Tap Into Your Hidden Powers and Unleash Your Heart. It's on Sunday, November 30th, from 1:30 to 5:30 at Fluid Coffee in Denver. And we're also going to host a singles mingler so that people can put the tools that they learned to the test and even possibly come away meeting somebody fantastic. So if you're in the Colorado area, we invite you to come. If you want some more information about this class, you can go to happylivingforever.com and click on classes, and you'll see instant connection. Because who doesn't love instant connection, Len, right? We all want it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so much fun, whether or not it's connecting with strangers or you know, romantically or family. But we're going to really focus and hone in on people that are single that really want a relationship. So super duper excited to come back to Colorado. Ooh. So if for those of you that are listening, and if you want to call in and ask a question, because I know we're going to dive into kind of a juicy topic for a lot of people, or you want to comment on our discussion, the numbers to call in are 719-362-8851 or 8852 or 8853 or 8854, or interact with me right on the desktop player by clicking on the tab with the three blue dots, and you can make comments, ask questions. And so we're going to jump in to our first guest. I met Christy a couple years ago back in Colorado. I think our first meeting was at Starbucks. And Dr. Christy Hartman is an internationally recognized dating expert, scientist, and the author of 5 dating advice books. She's a recovering academic and a closet nerd. Christy has refocused her overactive mind on unraveling the scientific and psychological mysteries behind dating and attraction. Catering to both men and women, she deconstructs all that is baffling about dating and makes it easily digestible to singles. Christy has appeared on the Today Show and Fox News Live and has been quoted in articles such as for CNN, US News, Match.com, Chicago Tribune, Men's Health, Men's Fitness, Cosmopolitan, Women's Health, Marie Claire, Glamour, and Shape. Woo! She's also a graduate of the University of Colorado. Christy has earned her MA in clinical psychology, her PhD in behavioral genetics, and worked as a scientist for CU for 11 years. She lives in Denver with her husband, and Christy enjoys hiking and camping and has a particular fondness for science fiction and natural health. So if you want to connect with Christy, her website is christyhartman.com, and you can find her on Facebook at facebook.com/Christy.Hartman.94, and we'll give you all that information a little bit later in the show. But welcome to the show, Christy.
Hi, thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
I know, although we can't really see each other, but we know what each other looks like, don't we?
Yeah, at least it's contact. I haven't spoken with you directly since been a long time, actually.
It has been, I know, but we're connected on Facebook. That, you know, that works for right now. But I'm so happy to have you here. You know, the subject that we're going to talk about tonight is really kind of near and dear to my heart because, you know, I've married a divorced man, but a lot of women are struggling out there. So you as well?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an interesting topic. It's a very specific topic. So why did you, it's an interesting topic. Why did you write the book, Dating the Divorced Man?
Well, I wrote it because I actually got into a situation, this is ages ago now, where I was dating someone who was separated, going through a really messy divorce. He had children, and his ex wasn't happy about the divorce, and it was just a really messy situation. And I could not, for the life of me, get any help, you know? Therapists really just didn't understand the dynamics of these kinds of situations. My friends were supportive, but they couldn't offer any advice. Nobody could, and I thought, what the hell? Why is there not any help for people like me? So I thought, well, I'm a writer and I have the knowledge. Why don't I just write the book? So I did the research and wrote the book to help other women in my situation.
Yeah, and it's very common these days. I mean, maybe back then, you know, people couldn't relate to you, but I would imagine today it's a very common question that you get asked and deal with people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It is, you know, with modern society and divorce and trying, and people getting back in the dating game, and they have children, and they have, you know, responsibilities. You know, it's a different ball game than dating when you've never been married.
You're right. I mean, especially people over 40. I mean, it's almost more and more common. And I'd almost say it's interesting. I have an interesting philosophy about that, which is sometimes it's okay to be divorced. You know, like if people really made the wrong choice and then they learn from that, and now they're, you know, back and they want to have that fulfilling relationship, like good for them.
Yeah.
That's just my own personal you know, thing on it. I'd rather people be happy and fulfilled than be stuck being with the wrong person because they can't get divorced. You know, it was almost like taboo back then. I'm curious, Christy, what would you say are the benefits of dating divorced men today?
There are actually a lot of benefits. People tend to focus on the negatives. You know, you hear divorce, you don't actually feel teary sometimes, but there are actually a lot of benefits, and one of them is that a lot of people have certain ideas about what marriage is like and what it's going to do for them. And then when they get married, they realize, oh, it's not what I thought. And, you know, it requires, you know, you're married, it requires a certain amount of compromise, and it requires you to face a lot of your own weaknesses as a person, as well as accept the weaknesses of your partner. And somebody who's been through all that has so much more realistic expectations for what partnership and marriage really is. And in that way, they got their starter marriage out of the way, they made their mistakes, and now they can move on in a more mature way. So they tend to be more mature and more realistic.
I love that philosophy. It's so true because, you know, I'm a newlywed now, and it's my first marriage. I mean, Stefan's, you know, third marriage, and we're going to talk about that later, but oh my gosh, like, it's wonderful on one hand, and then there are things that you do have to work through that you just never would have known, and I can tell that he does bring that experience to the table in our relationship, and I appreciate it, because I would be like, oh my god, I can't do this, and maybe even, like, want to bail, and he really does bring some different tools to the table, having gone through that, so I like the fact that you pointed to that.
Yeah, it's an important thing, and, you know, when things go wrong, you know, and, you know, you have conflicts, you know, a person that's been there before can be like, okay, I've seen this before, I'm not going to wig out that we're having a fight or that we disagree on something. It's like, okay, we can work through this. And there's just a level of maturity there that's just, that's just nice. You know, usually people have been divorced, especially if they have kids, are usually a lot less selfish. They know that, you know, when you have a family, even if it's just a family of one with a spouse, you have to think about the other person as much as you think about yourself. And
that
divorced
is so
people
true.
Divorced people are often better at doing that once they're ready to remarry. You know, in the early months after separation, not necessarily, but, you know, down the road, yeah.
Yeah, and we're not saying, like, other people that haven't been divorced don't do that, but I can hear your point very, very loud and clear. What would you say are some of the most common challenges that you see with women dating divorced men?
I see a couple. One of the biggest ones is when women date divorced men who are rebounding. Rebounding is a big issue because if he's recently separated or recently divorced, you don't know if he's just jumping into something new out of habit or out of fear or out of who knows what, all those complicated feelings you feel when you've been through a big loss like a divorce, or if you're really ready to move on. And a lot of the clients that I serve, often they're trying to figure that out. Is he ready to move forward, or is this just a rebound thing? And most rebound things wind up falling apart. So that's one common challenge. Another one is something actually that we might end up talking about later, which is what I call divorced husband syndrome. This is when a man is actually divorced and you would think would have moved on, but is still in many ways acting like a husband. He's still doing a lot of things for his ex. He's still going over there at holidays. He's still, you know, fixing things at her home or doing her taxes or paying
her bills. Yes, I hear this one all the time from some of my clients. Yes,
yeah,
keep going on that.
That is a huge problem I see a lot in my work. So those are some of the more common challenges.
Oh, yeah. So I'm just going to stop for just a minute. So if anybody's listening out there and you want to make a comment or ask a question, call in to talk to us, talk to Christy at 719-362-8851 or 8852. We want to hear from you. Okay, here's the next question I have, Christy. So as someone who has studied a lot about this, like, what makes separated men then different from divorced men? What would you say about that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the people that come to me, that come to my blog, that come to me for coaching, are often dating separated men. A lot of people think, why would you date someone who's separated? They're still married. And it's like, well, kind of, but they're out of their marriage and ready to move on. But, you know, the legal process of separation can take a really long time sometimes years. So, you know, then you have to deal with the fact that they're still trying to get divorced, and there are so many complications with that. way more complications than there is with somebody who's actually divorced, because oftentimes when you're separated, when you're still separated, you're still having to deal with a lot of the rigors of separating emotionally, financially, and legally from a spouse. You know, you have to deal with figuring out what to do with kids, where the kids are going to live, who's going to live in what house. So it's very stressful for the man that's in that situation, and oftentimes that stress can make him a less ideal partner, but it can also make him a more needy partner. So he may seek out a relationship even though he might not be ready to give back what he needs. And so I, you know, if a woman dates a separated man, I always warn her to be very, very, very cautious. And with some women, just won't do it at all. And I can't blame them.
And I agree with you. The divorce process takes, again, I've never been divorced, but I have heard, right, horror stories about it. It can take a long time, like a lot of years. Do you have any suggestions or advice, Christy, about, you know, if somebody is separated for 3 years or 5 years or just maybe like a year, like, or are you like, no way, don't date separated people? What's your philosophy on that?
You know, it depends on my mood, you know. Some days I feel like never date someone who's separated. But you know, I always want to be a reasonable person and understand there are always exceptions to the rule. I think for the most part, separated men are actually very risky, unless you only want what I would call casual dating. But if you want a relationship, and certainly if you want a future, they're much riskier. And so I always tell women, be very cautious and try to stay away unless they've been separated so long that you feel like their divorce is imminent. You know, it's going to happen any time. But I have known a few exceptions of men who were separated, got divorced, everything worked out great, they moved on, got married, had kids, and they're still together. So,
yeah, I've heard those too, right? They started dating before he was actually divorced. And they're now completely happy, because I do think men that have been in a relationship and married before, they do like to be committed and they do like to be in a relationship. So it makes sense that they would go seek that out. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, completely. Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah. I think it's just a matter of whether they're ready to move on. And oftentimes if they aren't ready, they don't realize it. And so sometimes it's up to you to look for the signs. And if, you know, he said he's ready to move on, but the signs aren't showing it, sometimes it's better to back off or to just let him go and wait until he's divorced.
That's a really, really good point. So I'm curious to know what your philosophy is in this. What do you consider baggage, and why is it important?
You know, baggage is such an interesting word. It has such a negative connotation now, which is unfortunate because it doesn't have to be negative. So I define baggage as anything that you bring from a previous relationship into a new one. Okay? So that can be something completely, you know,
anything.
Healthy.
Yeah,
like
anything.
Children.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be negative or bad. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I mean, baggage is, you know, when we think of baggage, it's just suitcases, right? You know, it's stuff we bring on a plane, we bring with us. And so that can, you know, and baggage usually has a certain, it can be complicated. The more baggage there is, the more complicated the situation can be. But it doesn't have to be a bad thing. You know, children aren't a bad thing. They can be great, you know, and they can enrich a relationship. But as far as the negative aspects of baggage, that can weigh a relationship down. And so, you know, it's important to assess how much baggage a divorced man has or a divorced person has, and more importantly, how that baggage is being, quote-unquote, handled. You know, is he dealing with the issues and trying to get his arms around it, or are they just problems that never seem to go away? And I'll give you an example. Like, you know, a negative form of baggage might be an ex-wife who has not let go of her ex-husband. You know, she's still calling all the time, and she's still picking fights with him. She's trying to stay kind of emotionally engaged with him. You know, that's baggage that a new girlfriend doesn't want to deal with. And so, you know, is he doing something about that and trying to manage it, or is he just kind of burying his head in sand and hoping that it'll go away on its own? And so those are the kinds of challenges that come up sometimes that are baggage-oriented.
Yeah, and I agree. We all have it. We all bring it in one way, shape, or form. I think people can deal with their baggage, at least the negative baggage, you know, before getting into a relationship, and I think they're a better partner. And I also love, I think you were pointing to, like, if there's a pattern, like an unhealthy pattern that they're bringing with you, like, it's important to be able to try to identify, because I love the quote. I don't know if you've ever heard of this one, Christy, but that quote of, we all have baggage. Find somebody that will help you, like, unpack it together.
Yeah.
Have you heard
exactly.
that one? I love it, because you're right. We do bring tons of stuff to the table. Whether or not it's negative or positive, like, things just come up and, like, will reactivate us, and we don't even know where or where it came from, but, you know, working through it with a partner, then we can kind of put it to rest. So I guess that's the beauty of a partner, isn't it?
Yeah, ideally that is the beauty of a partner, and that can happen in the right circumstances. You know, but there are some cases where there's just too much baggage that I think a man can't handle and have a relationship at the same time. You know, he can
yes.
work through it on his own, and then he'll be ready. So.
Yeah, because I would agree with you. I have had some situations where he kind of just brings so much baggage to the table to a new relationship, and the woman is just like wants to love him and wants to give, but he's just got so much that he's dealing with that it's just almost so difficult for her because she's trying to love him, and he does the little bit of the push away, and he's just got so much on his plate
right.
with that. I'm sure you see that as well.
Yep, definitely, for sure.
So I want to talk a little bit about the divorced husband, but before that, I want to go into like kind of a transition, which is, what are the top red flags that people can look for? What can women look for when they meet a divorced man? Just to be aware of, not like, oh my God, you're gone, you're done kind of a thing, but just to
right.
be aware of when they're engaging with a divorced man.
Exactly, and that's the purpose of a red flag. It isn't a go away automatically. It's something, okay, this is a warning, I should pay attention to this and just keep my eye on it. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a no-go. So one of them is a man who's separated. So if his divorce isn't final yet, that is a red flag. It's something that you should keep an eye on and see and pay attention. Is he ready to move forward, or is he still stuck in the muck, you know, of divorce?
Yes.
Another one is a very angry or difficult ex-wife. That is a huge red flag. A lot of the women that I work with are dealing with an ex-wife who is mean to her, or badmouths her to the kids, or bad, you know, or is showing up at his house all the time, or is demanding all these things from him. Just someone who has not seemed to have moved on from the marriage yet. That's a huge red flag, and that can be a relationship killer if it isn't dealt with in an optimal way. So that's something to look out for. And another one is just a man who doesn't quite seem ready to move on yet. He's still very angry about the divorce, or he's still really hurting, or he feels very guilty. You know, those stronger, kind of more painful emotions are a sign that perhaps he's not quite ready to date yet, or he's certainly not ready for a relationship.
Oh, those are great, Christy. Thank you. Any other red flags? Those are fantastic. Anyone others to add? Or
those are the main ones. Yeah.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good, right? Just to be aware of. Because I know for myself, when I was out dating, I was so naive. I just wanted to be loved, and I just fell into these traps, you know, with different men. So it's great.
Yeah, we've all been there.
I'm sure we can have lots of discussions about that. So I want to go back to the divorced husband that you talk about in your book. Who is he, and why is he dangerous?
So the divorced husband is a man who actually is divorced, but is still acting he's still kind of taking on that husband role with his ex-wife. This is more common when a man has kids with an ex, because if he has children, he cannot, you know, just jettison the ex and never speak to her again. He has to deal with her for the sake of kids, and they have to co-parent together. So they have to be a team, whether they want to or not. But some men they haven't seemed to have cut the cord. And, like, for instance, a divorced husband may be over at his ex's fixing her house in some way, like she's got a broken toilet or a broken fridge or a broken car. And he's the one she calls, you know, or if she breaks down in her car, she calls him. Or if Thanksgiving comes around and they want to, you know, they each want to see the kids, instead of figuring out something in their divorce agreement, they all just go to her house and often the new girlfriend isn't really included in this, or she feels extremely awkward.
Oh,
and
yes.
So these are all signs that a man in some way is still, he wants the divorce, but he doesn't want to let go of the life he had before. You know, he hasn't completely cut it off and started a new life with a new parenting schedule. You know, his ex-wife out of his life other than co-parenting and moving on with a new woman. He's still kind of clinging
right.
to the old life. And this this is extremely dangerous, because when a woman gets involved with a man like this, she is not first in his life. She is not an important person for him, because he's still attached to his old life, and she feels
yeah,
like,
and that can cause a lot of anxiety and stress in a woman.
Oh, a ton.
A lot.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, this is not what anybody wants, and it's hard, because when she tells him, this is how I feel, I don't like this, you know, then he gets upset, because he feels like he's doing the right thing. I mean, most
right.
men want to do the right thing. They don't want to be a jerk to the ex. They don't want to be like, the hell with you, you know, fix your own toilet, you know. They want to be a good guy and help. They want to do what's right for the kids. They, you know, their heart's always in the right place, but they don't realize that all they're really doing is just putting that former family first instead of a new potential family, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like such a habit, and like you said, they can't break the cord, but it does become a very unhealthy situation for the person that he's dating and then the wife, and that can get very sticky very quickly.
Very
frustrating.
Yeah.
I have women that, like, they just won't get divorced, and they kind of just keep hanging in and kind of leading them along that they will get divorced, and then they never do, and that can wreak havoc as well. I'm sure you've seen that.
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
Christy, I want to give your website out again. It's Christy, and it's Christy with an I-E, so it's Christie Hartman.com. Is that right?
Yep.
Good. And then you're on Twitter. I love your name on Twitter, right? For those tweeters out there, she is Denver Date Doctor, and that's Denver Date DR. You can connect with her on Twitter. Gosh, Christy, thank you so much. So enlightening, so helpful. Thank you so much for these tips for the women out there. And you know, we all love divorced men, okay? Let's be really clear. We're not kind of picking on people.
Absolutely.
But there are some things that you brought up that's just to be aware of and to be smart about as you're, you know, picking and choosing a healthy partner for you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on, and I had a great time, and I'm going to listen to the rest of the show. So.
Oh, great having you, Christy.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Bye.
So that was our guest, Christy Hartman, a PhD and the author of Dating the Divorced Man. Oh, that was fantastic. Just really insightful and informative. And again, you can go to her website and connect with her. Her website is christyhartman.com. Follow her on Facebook at facebook.com/christy.hartman.94. And I'm going to take a break now, and when I come back, we're going to be continuing this conversation about divorced men. And actually, I'm going to kind of bring it a bit near and dear to home. I am going to have my husband, Stefan Hines, with us for a little bit. He is my wonderful husband, and he's going to answer a few questions about being divorced and now being married after his divorce. And then we're going to slide into a conversation about vulnerability. So we'll be right back.
Go ahead, you know, and implement your ideas, your notions. Put them in motion, like the way you funky dress have spoken to you. So listen up loud and clear.
If you're single, do people ever tell you, lower your standards, or say, you can't have that? When people say this to you, reply, oh, yes, I can. Suzanne Muller-Hines has done it herself and has helped others believe and receive everything they wanted in a relationship and more. If you wish to experience your own self-made love story that lasts, check out happylivingforever.com. At Happy Living Forever, you'll win the game of true love.
Front Range Auto Glass will beat any price quote and uses only top-notch OEM glass. Glass Tech Travis has over 15 years' experience and is mobile, so you don't have to change your day to change your windshield. Front Range Auto Glass gives you a lifetime guarantee on labor and all auto glass without an impact point. Call to schedule your appointments on 330-3205. That's 330-3205. Or leave a note on facebook.com/Front Range Auto Glass. A tiny chip in your windshield could quickly lead to a complete cracked windshield, so don't delay and replace it today. Broken windshield? No worries. Front Range Auto Glass won't break your budget.
You may be living in what's considered one of the worst-dressed cities in the nation. Yes, I said the nation. Does anybody else have a problem with that? I'm on a mission to change that. Tune in to my show, When Style Matters, live every Wednesday at noon Mountain Standard Time on Cosmic Broadcasting. I'll be sharing my expert advice and tips. Remember, your style matters all the time, and all the time, your style matters.
guys, this is Lynn Williams of Cosmic Broadcasting, and if you've ever had an issue with a computer or a computer system, you know how frustrating those things can be. I just had the pleasure of talking with Michael Clark of MRC Technology, and I come away from the meeting thinking that this is the guy that can do it all. Runs a company that specializes in network and computer support, can work on most computer system issues, has over 30 years of experience in the field. Anything from virus cleanup, firewalls, security, web and email hosting, even workstation and server maintenance, this guy can get the job done for you. Windows, Macs, or Linux, you can count on them to do whatever it takes to resolve your issues. Do yourself a favor and get in contact with MRC Technology, 5050 Edison Avenue, Suite 111, right down the hall from Cosmic Broadcasting. Michael Clark, MRC Technologies, give him a call at 719-362-0710 or check out the web at www.mrct.us.
Imagine a place far removed from typical radio limitations. Imagine a place where what you want and what you get are the same. A far-reaching place that is not restricted by signal frequency. A radio destination whose shows and their content span the globe. A place where the expression of ideas and opinions are not limited. An experience that defies the structure and restraints of local terrestrial radio. A destination that allows you to be as free thinking and in control of your own radio choices as if you were behind the controls yourself. Now, imagine it's real. Imagine such a thing exists.
This is crazy!
Welcome to Cosmic Broadcasting. Casting.
Don't forget, you can take our shows wherever you go. Download the Cosmic Broadcasting app. It's free for your Apple or Android device.
Welcome back. If you're just turning in, I'm your guest host, Suzanne Muller-Hines, for the hour on the Connection Puzzle radio show, and I work with singles to help them enjoy the dating process and be in a healthy relationship in order to be ready for love. Ready. So for more information on what I do, you can go to my website, which is happylivingforever.com, and my Facebook page is Happy Living Forever. And we just updated it the other day. In fact, my awesome husband built me a website, Len. You got to check it out. I've got this super funny picture of me being a little vulnerable on it. Like, my hair is like sticking straight up. Anyway, it's quite funny. You guys will have to let me know how it is. Talking about vulnerability, which we'll talk about a little later, I thought I'd be vulnerable myself and put a picture of me looking very silly out on my website. So I hope you guys like it. Okay, so we've been talking about The Divorced Man with Christy Hartman and the pros and the cons and more. And I have to say, whether you've been haven't been married or you've been divorced once, twice, three times, or 10 times, it doesn't matter. What matters is what you've learned from it, and are you able to prevent those mistakes going forward and be a great partner for somebody now? Because I think a lot of times people do have a stigma of like, oh no, I've been divorced, or I've been divorced once or twice or three times, and then they're hesitant to love again. And I say, as long as you learn from it and become a better partner, you know what? It doesn't matter. I have clients that have been divorced four times, and the beautiful thing is they still believe in love, and maybe they failed a couple times, if you want to look at it that way. But they're determined, they're persistent, and it's such a beautiful thing. So we're going to continue this conversation close to home by talking to my own husband, who's been divorced twice. He's learned a lot over the years and is now remarried to me. Mwah! Lucky him. And there are times that I'm also not a walk in the park, I have to say. And I call Stefan my freaking awesome husband. We have... And you know, why just have a husband, Lynn? You know, I want a freaking awesome husband. If I get to say, like, what kind of husband I want a freaking awesome husband. And it doesn't mean that we don't have our ups and our downs and our spits and our spats and all that, but... he is my teammate, my playmate, my lover, my travel partner. Again, the man that I argue with from time to time, the man that I make up with, the man that spoils me rotten, the man that I love and adore. Please welcome Stefan Hines. Hi, Stefan.
Hi.
Hi, I have this concern that I'm going to call you honey or babe throughout this interview. So I hope everybody out there listening just kind of forgives me for that. Thanks for being on the show with us tonight. And I know you're just kind of like in the other room, but that's great. We can hear you very, very well.
Great. I can hear you well, too.
Good. Have you been kind of, were you listening to the earlier part of the conversation, or did you just kind of jump on?
I just joined on.
Okay, good. Well, as you know, I know you know this because I've been preparing, we've been talking about, you know, divorced men and a lot of the benefits about dating somebody that's divorced and some of the things just to watch out for in case, you know, he isn't in a healthy place. And, you know, you're someone who's been married and divorced twice, and most people would say, you know, forget it, or they give up, or I can't do that. And I'm curious, why do you think you were ready to get married again?
I was clear that we trust each other, and I was clear that I don't want to be with somebody else. So I didn't think about marriage or not marriage. I was just clear that I wanted to be with you, and so getting married was just the next step.
Yeah, and I like that you said, like, we trusted each other. Like, you and I do have our best interests at heart. We have our backs. And I don't think I've ever trusted somebody as much as I trusted you. And I like that. That's not about married or not married. It's just like, this is what I wanted to do again. That's great.
Yeah,
and wow, I certainly benefited, didn't I? And I love being married to you and being a newlywed. And, you know, we go through our ups and downs, and we're learning along the way together.
Yes.
So I have another question. What would you say was the biggest thing that you learned from going through your different divorces and experiences for yourself? What did you learn for yourself?
I would say I trust myself. You know, yeah, that's pretty much it. I trust myself. I didn't really trust myself the first two times. It sounds funny, but wasn't really, but this time I can clearly say I committed because I trusted myself in that relationship.
Yeah, so you trusted yourself internally, like you were able to learn over times, right? Whether we call them failures or whatever they are, is they just, people got married and then they're not married and then they got married and they're not married, but you learned to trust yourself and develop the muscle to trust yourself. And what is that like now to trust yourself like that?
It's great. I love it. I mean, it's
I like it too, because I trust you too. Okay. So, you know, out there, Stefan, we often hear kind of stigmas of, oh my God, they've been divorced. But, you know, I always, you know, my philosophy, I don't care if you haven't been married or you want to be married for the first time at 70 or you've been divorced 3 times or 10 times. Do you think being a divorced man makes you different, or just somebody divorced that's learned from his experiences to prevent mistakes from the past? What would you say?
I don't think it makes me any different. In fact, I mean, I clearly haven't learned from the first experience. And I sometimes think it's overrated looking at divorced people because, you know, so many people just don't get married for a long time and they still go out of their relationships. They just haven't been married, so, but in a way they have been divorced from an earlier relationship. So in a way, no, I don't think I'm any different.
Yeah. And what would you say was the biggest thing you learned from? What's the biggest takeaway that you got from those experiences?
I would say you really don't know. Or I don't really know. I mean, I had expectations, and some got fulfilled and some didn't get fulfilled. So what I got, really, the takeaway is, as I said earlier, to trust myself and to give it all.
Yeah, I think that is one of the best things that I love about our relationship is that we do give it all. We give it 100%, or as people say, 150% or whatever, but we do give it all.
Yeah.
And then finally, I'm curious, what would you say to all the listeners out there? Like, what's the one thing you'd say that makes our relationship strong and healthy today?
Well, I have two things. I would say authenticity and forgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that as well. If I can jump in and agree with you, okay, I'm going to jump in and agree with you on that one. That is true. You really do have to forgive different little things, like little things, even like the little stuff that comes up. And you're right, we do have a level of very authentic, genuine, not stepping over stuff in our relationship. Yep. That's great. Thank you so much for kind of coming on and being, you know, it's funny, I'm going to talk about vulnerability here in just a minute. And so it was kind of vulnerable to bring my husband on to the call and interview you. And thank you for being vulnerable and sharing, you know, although you were divorced twice, third time's a charm, right?
Yep. You're very welcome.
Thank you. And can you bring me a cocktail? No, I'm just kidding. I'll have one after the show. Thank you so much for being with us, honey.
Yes, with my pleasure.
Alrighty. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
Doesn't he have the cutest German accent? I love it. Oh my God, that was such like the wicked laugh, wasn't it? Oh well, he's so precious to me. So we're going to shift gears here for just a minute and talk a little bit about vulnerability. Some people love vulnerability. Some people get chills thinking about being vulnerable. And I want to hear from you out there on the phones. Call in. I want to know. Do you think being vulnerable makes you weak? Does being vulnerable make you strong? Does being vulnerable have you connect to somebody? I want to hear from you. What is your view of vulnerability? Are you good at it? Are you not so good at it? Here's the phone lines, okay? Call us, 719-362-8851 or 8852. 8853 or 8854. This is a really interesting topic these days about being vulnerable. And one of the things that I've realized as a coach is that it takes a muscle to develop to be able to be vulnerable. And it also takes courage to be vulnerable. Especially when you're out dating somebody and meeting somebody, it's difficult to put your heart out there, to put yourself out there, to be vulnerable with somebody because you don't know how they're going to react. Len, are you out there?
Believe it or not, still here.
Are you still there? What are your thoughts about vulnerability? Is it easy for you? Is it hard for you? Or is it a man thing? What do you think?
In the beginning, I guess when you're younger, it's always difficult because especially within your teens and all the way up into your mid-20s, you want to portray this aura about you. You want to portray this initial stance about you that says, I am this way, I am about this, I want to do this, and this, that, and the other. And it's almost like pulling back the curtain. And when you get somebody in that situation and it makes them vulnerable, it's kind of scary on both sides. It's scary for the person pulling the curtain back as well as it is for the person who's actually having their curtain pulled back. It's incredibly scary for both. At least that's the way I would think of it. And at an early age, I was always kind of like that. And then for me at about 35, right after my divorce, I developed something. It's kind of funny. A couple of the hosts and I, we joke about it. I developed something called the F it button. And plain and simple, when it comes to a point where it's, well, what should I do or what should I do? I smash that button and go for it. Just say, you know what? Forget it. It's not forget a matter it. Of caring anymore. It's not a matter of caring what people think about me, how people perceive me. It doesn't matter. And if I let that, or let their thought process take up space in my head, I'm worse off. I put it this way: I suck at carrying my own baggage. What do I look like carrying yours? So,
mid-30s, you kind of like got the courage and you're like, I'm put it all out there, I'm gonna be vulnerable, I'm gonna be me by your mid-30s.
Because by that time for me it was, what's the worst somebody gonna say? No. Okay, cool, you've heard no most of your life and you're still alive, so hey, go out, live it up, and if somebody tells you no, just know that's an opportunity for somebody else to say maybe, and as long as they're not saying no, it's a good deal.
That's right. That's right. It's a really good subject because, you know, a lot of people will hide stuff or I can't say that or hide some secrets. I know for myself, when I was cheated on about 5 years ago, I mean, it rocked me to my core. I mean, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed and I didn't even want to talk about it. I mean, besides the fact I wanted to just hate him, but that's, you know, how I learned how to forgive, because otherwise I would have just like held it.
Of course.
And, you know, one of the things that some people know about me, some people don't, I'm maybe really vulnerable right now, but I contracted HPV through him, and I was really upset. And it was the scariest thing for me to have to share that right now with my current husband, and to like be like, is he going to reject me? Am I damaged goods? Is he going to go away? And to be accepted for that. And now I'm good, but it's not like a stigma that I have a concern about. And you know what? That's me. That's what happened. You know, can't change the past. And it's something now that I do share with people about STDs and what you do need to be aware of with partner as they're going forward with dating. But it was pretty embarrassing, you know?
Right. And I think that's the biggest part for a lot of people, is that they have to be okay with it first before they can expect anyone else to be okay with it. If you're not okay with it, then chances are you shouldn't be running your mouth about it.
That's a really good point, because I couldn't talk about it at first. I wanted to really hide it, but the minute I got okay with it and I actually got kind of responsible, like, okay, Suze, what did you do to cause that? And doesn't mean that I wanted it, you know, to come, you know, to happen. But once I, you know, dealt with the crying and the sadness and, you know, went to the doctor and figured out what to do, I was good. I like that you said that. In fact, I want to also bring up a point that Jerry from Cleveland talked about vulnerability. He says that vulnerability means fear of the unknown. That's really interesting. I like that perspective, Jerry. Thank you for sharing that.
True statement.
Thank you.
Absolutely true statement. You have no idea what's going to happen. All you know is that either mentally, spiritually, or physically, your clothes are off, and there's nothing you can do about it. Whatever happens next.
Yeah, like
happens.
You're naked. You're exposed. And here, I'm going to give a couple of pointers, okay? For people that are single, that have a hard time being vulnerable, okay? I'm going to give you some statements that you can use, and because these do take courage to say, all right? So here are a couple things to say, such as, I'm a little nervous. Can I say something? Can I tell you something? Or here's another one. I'm feeling afraid and not sure how to say this. Or, I feel a little vulnerable saying this to you. Can I share something with you? Mm-hmm. And even like earlier in the show, do you remember, Len, when I was like, I'm sad, I'm raw, my father's in, you know, critical condition right now, like I could cry at the drop of a hat. But the reason why I bring up these particular questions is that, one, you share like how you're feeling, and then you ask a question. And after you ask the question, like, can I tell you something? After you've just said like you're afraid or you're nervous or you're upset, if people pause and you wait for their response, a really good, safe partner will console and say, sure. And then you have the freedom to be able to say what you need to say in a very safe environment. Would you agree with that, Len?
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I think it really works for my relationship. And because a lot of times I used to keep it all together. I was kind of like the stale queen, believe it or not, Len. I'd keep it all together, kind of hide what I was really dealing with. If I was sad, I might tell like one or two people. But I'm now getting a lot better and more comfortable. It's kind of like riding a bike. Would you agree, Len?
Yeah.
more you do it, the easier it gets. Because now people consider me a very vulnerable, raw person. I probably share way too much out on Facebook, but I don't care, like you said earlier, right? This is me.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
Exactly. You can't care. And what I've found from most people is not the fact that they are one way or the other. I've figured out just in my travels that they're one way and the other, and it all depends on how you catch them. I mean, when I was younger, I was very shy, very vulnerable. I stuttered. I still stutter. But I always had that thing of, what is this person going to think about me, or how is this person going to think about me? There's some, you know, and things of that nature.
Me too.
And now it's almost a polar opposite. Now that I'm sitting here at 40 and going, you know what? Whatever. I suck at karaoke. That's why I'm a DJ. Big deal. Laugh at it. Drink a beer. Have a good night. You know, but You know, but on the same token, there's still that one, there's still that part of you that goes, I wonder what they're saying. I wonder what they're thinking. It's just a matter of which one. It's a matter of which one you want to feed. I'm sure you've heard the fable of inside of you are two wolves. One is positive. One is negative. And the son would ask which one. You know, which one wins? And it's basically the one that you feed. You kind of do the same thing. It's whichever one you choose to be. I'm still, to an extent, a nervous wreck. I'm still that shy, stuttering guy. But at 35, I just decided, you know what? I'm sick of that. That's stupid. I'm going to try and see what it feels like being the other way. And you know what?
Being just the real deal, the real you.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, this is me. My shoes don't fit, and my shirt is two sizes too small. Laugh, get it out of your system, but then let's get down to business.
Yeah, I like that. And the reason why I really wanted to, like, bring this up on today's call is because, you know, people in relationships deal with the same thing too, right? Being vulnerable with your partner and bringing stuff up having to discuss things, fine, right? But I would imagine that they've gotten to some kind of comfort with the other person before they walk down the aisle, or at least I would hope so. But when people are single and you're dealing with love and putting your heart out there, the thing about vulnerability is that it really does connect you with a person when you actually do know something that's very, very vulnerable about them. I think it's much more connecting versus like the surface stuff, you know, that people kind of talk about on dates and all of that. It's just boring to me. And that I think people, if they can kind of get a little deeper and find the courage to be vulnerable, I think that they would find much more connection with people. And it takes something. It's like, ooh, I'm a little, like, people go out on first dates. I'm sorry, but you're nervous. And what if, like, the first thing you said to somebody, if you were nervous, is, gosh, I'm a little nervous, and I'm really looking forward to getting to know you tonight. But, you know, and maybe that's too vulnerable. I don't know. I'd like to hear from people. Is that too vulnerable? Is it too forward? Or do people have to kind of keep it together out there? But if they didn't keep it all together, and people could be a little bit more vulnerable and put their cards on the table and show their feelings, I personally think people could connect a little faster, Len. That's my thought.
I think it's not only in relationships, but that's just a microcosm of life. If people were more vulnerable and more willing to put things out there, life would be so much smoother for a lot of people. But instead, we're getting into this stigma, this paradigm of, we got to hold it together. We don't want anybody to see our true selves, our real selves, or things of that nature. And I'm thinking, what if we all just said, forget it? Look, this is what it is. Hey, look, it's my first time dating. I'm nervous. You look great. Forgive me, I'm a nervous wreck, but I'm still here.
Yeah,
let's go.
You know? Exactly. Oh, my gosh. That's so great. And the thing I love about vulnerability is that it is one of those, if people out there are feeling like I'm a little weak at it or I'm a little wobbly at it, that's okay.
Right.
That's a skill that you can learn, and you can build that muscle. It's what I teach my clients, because vulnerability is one of the biggest keys to a long-term successful relationship. I guarantee it. And it's one of the reasons why there's a lot of single people out there that are kind of floundering, because I think everybody's kind of trying to keep it together. And if you're great at vulnerability, awesome. But if you're not, connect with me some way, shape, or form on my website at happylivingforever.com, because you will feel, I don't know about you, but now that I feel more vulnerable, Len, but I feel more confident about myself. I feel more free. I feel happier. Do you have that sense too?
To an extent, yeah. I mean, and I think the main thing about it is that with some things of which you don't feel comfortable, you don't want to put it out there, and you don't want other people to hear about it and reject you. And I think that's the number one thing that a lot of people are single that's what they're going through. They're scared of being rejected. Funniest thing for me, I've been married to my wife for about 4 years now. I still will not sing in front of her. I cannot. For some odd reason, I will not sing in front of her. I won't sing in front of my mother. I won't sing in front of anyone in my family. The only time you will ever catch me is
in the shower.
No, I don't even do that. I don't even do it in the shower.
In the car?
Nope. Well, sometimes, you know what? Sometimes in the car, but mostly at a karaoke bar, which, quite frankly, I can't stand most of them. So it's going to take a lot to get me there in the first place.
Right.
But yeah, there are still some things that I'm kind of like about, you know, especially in front of my wife, because I guess for me, there's a part of me that goes, I already know what I'm going to hear from her. Wow, you sing awful. And I know after that it's going to be over and done with. I know it's going to be over and done with after that.
What if, Len, we took Jerry from Cleveland's advice and vulnerability means the fear of the unknown? What if you didn't know what your wife was going to say? So I'm going to challenge you to karaoke in front of your wife, okay?
Oh, boy.
I know you love me. All right, so it was a great conversation. Thanks for diving into that with me. So we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Suzanne Muller-Hines, the owner of Happy Living Forever, and I'm going to be hosting every month here on the Connection Puzzle Radio Show. My next show is December 5th, and we're hosting a class in Denver. It's called Instant Connection. If you go to the Happy Living Forever site, click on classes. It's for men and women. It's going to be fabulous. And we'll have more stories and tips on finding true love right here on the Connection Puzzle. And if you missed any part of this show and you want to hear the rest of it, we'll be airing the whole show again in the next hour if you'd like to listen. And if you want to listen to all the archives or any other archives from our shows, go to the Cosmic Broadcasting website on the tab podcast, or find us on iTunes and Podomatic.com. And thanks for listening today. And remember to be your most lovable self and enjoy your weekend. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.